please welcome Joyce Story to our stage.
Thank you, Glenda. Will this come down? Yes. Okay. You know, when I look at clouds in the sky, and by the way, that's not an everyday occurrence here in the Sonoran Desert and especially in the Valley of the Sun, but when there are clouds, I often fancy that I see in them the images of people. And perhaps that's an experience that you have also. But did you know that long ago, when the world was young, the shapes or the people that were seen in the clouds were not mere shapes or images. They were real beings. They were the cloud people. One spring afternoon, the wind gently blew some of them down onto the Sonoran Desert. Well, the animals were a bit concerned. You know, they were not used to seeing clouds down at their level. So they headed for their caves and their holes and hid behind rocks and from the safety of these hiding places peered out at the cloud people. And among them was a little cloud girl. When she looked around at the puffy white clouds, the larger ones, she was startled to realize that she did not recognize a single one. They were all strangers to her. Now, she knew about the constant possibility of change that the cloud people faced. They could be floating together as a group, and then the wind, a gust of wind, would blow them apart. That has to be what happened, she thought. I've been separated from my friends. And so she went into the middle of all the clouds. Oh, she wanted to feel a little more secure, and she was hoping that she might find a small cloud that she could play with. But wouldn't you know that all the cloud people that day were on the order of what we would call young adults. Now, they understood far better than she did the transformations that the cloud people could undergo. The wind could not only push them apart, it could alter them in shape. They could have no shape at all, like fog or mist. Or they could be something else entirely, rain or dew or hail or snow. And so these young cloud people believed that it was important to live to the fullest whatever experience came their way. To celebrate their first and quite possibly last visit to the Sonoran Desert, they decided to have a fancy ball. Now it was spring in the Sonoran Desert, and all the cacti were in bloom. The cloud people were astounded at the beauty and the many colors of the cactus flowers. They decided that each one of them would embrace a different cactus and absorb its colors. Oh, what a vibrant affair this ball was going to be. The little cloud girl was very excited. She said, "Oh, a ball, how exciting. I've never been to one. I can't wait." But, you know, these young adult cloud people, they were so busy with their preparations and their planning, they didn't have time for her. "Why don't you just scuttle along and find something to do somewhere else?" they said. "Please, please don't get in our way." So she left. And what a heartbreaking sight she was. She found a rock to sit on. Her head drooped. She was fighting back tears. All of the animals felt sorry for her. But only three dared to come out to her. And they were the rattlesnake, the Gila monster, and the tarantula. They were all three venomous animals. Maybe that's why they were so brave. Out they came and they said, "Oh, please don't be so sad." "Well, I wanted to go to the ball," sniffed the little cloud girl. "And they told me to leave." "It doesn't matter," they said. "We'll just have our own ball. What do we need to do?" Of course, the little cloud girl wasn't quite sure. She said, "Well, I don't know, but it involves dressing up in some way, and all the older ones are using the colors and the cactus flowers, and I don't think there will be any colors left for me." The animal said, "Oh, you'll be fine with your white. Look over at that saguaro. See its white flowers. They're just as beautiful as any flowers of color." And the little cloud girl had to admit that they really were quite beautiful. So her dress would remain white. But she said, you know, I need something more. I need some accessories. So the animals thought. The rattlesnake said, well, if I wrap myself around your neck, I could be your necklace. That is a wonderful idea, she said, a diamond necklace. And when she picked the rattlesnake up, diamond-shaped markings appeared all down its back. The rattlesnake said, whew, I feel so classy. And then the Gila monster, after thinking, said, look, if I hold my tail in my mouth, you can carry me around like a bag or a purse. Splendid, a beaded bag. And when she picked up the Gila monster, its perfectly smooth skin was covered with bumps or beads. The Gila monster said, oh, I feel so stylish. Well, then it was the tarantula's turn. The tarantula said, well, I could be your pin or brooch. Fabulous, a gold pin. But when she picked the tarantula up, it turned not into a gold, but into a light tannish or blonde color. The tarantula said, hold it, don't do a thing. I've always wanted to be a blonde. And so it was that the little cloud girl and her three new friends had their own party. Just as the sun was setting, the wind began to pick up, and the three animals, the snake, the rattlesnake, the Gila monster, and the tarantula were left behind as the wind gently carried all the cloud people up to the sky. The animals could not believe their eyes when they looked up at the sky because all the colors of the cactus flowers were in those clouds, including a little dot of white for those who knew to look for it. Now today, in the Sonoran Desert, the rattlesnake still has those diamond-shaped markings down its back. We call it the Western Diamondback Rattler. The Gila monster still has those beads all over its body. And the tarantula is so light in color that it's sometimes called the Arizona blonde tarantula. Moreover, wherever we are, anywhere in the world, if there are clouds in the sky when the sun is setting, we can see in them every shade of orange and yellow and pink and red and purple, thanks to the cactus blossoms of the Sonoran Desert. Truly, the Sonoran Desert is a wondrous place. And marvels happen there all the time. Why, once there was a bobcat that fell in love with the saguaro. He did. The saguaro was tall and stately, and the bobcat thought that she was the most beautiful being he had ever seen. The saguaro was flattered, though not surprised, by his attention. A lot of animals paid her attention. The birds, the bees, the bats, the butterflies drank the nectar of her flowers. Some animals ate her flesh. The Gila woodpecker bored a hole in her side and made a nest, and when he moved out, often the elf owl moved in. But the bobcat wanted nothing from her but her affection. He climbed up to the top of the saguaro, all 40 feet of her, and there he stayed for several days. Well, you know, after a while, this got a little tiresome. The saguaro missed the activity of the animals, but when they came near, the bobcat threatened them, and they were afraid of him, so they stayed away. The saguaro said, please don't frighten my friends, scare my friends away. I like their being here. But the bobcat just did not seem to be able to take her seriously, and there wasn't anything she could do to make him do what she asked. She would say on occasion, don't you want to spend some time somewhere else? And he would purringly respond, if you can't go with me, I won't go either. Well, at some point, you know, the bobcat's desire for togetherness had to be temporarily ended because there was this growling in his stomach that said, you've got to eat. So he had to leave. Oh. He climbed down, all 40 feet, down to the bottom of the saguaro, and he said, "I must leave you, my dear sweet saguaro, and my heart fills with anguish and sorrow. But no tears, I'll be back tomorrow." And off he went. The saguaro thought, "Oh my gosh, does he think that's poetry? It's awful. I can't stand this." And she began to think of how she could convince the bobcat to go on his way. The bobcat came back the next day. He climbed up to the top of the saguaro, where he resumed telling her how beautiful she was and declaring his undying love for her. The saguaro said, "You know, while you were gone, I saw another bobcat." "What?" said the bobcat. "Where is he? I'll tear him apart." "No, no, no, no," said the saguaro. "Not a he-bobcat, a she-bobcat. Oh, and she was something else, a cute little tail, curly whiskers, come-hither look in her eyes. I think you'd like her." The bobcat said, "Dearest saguaro, how can you say such a thing? You know that I am yours forever." And with that, he began to recite some more poetry. "You've won my heart. I can't depart. You are my star, oh, stout saguaro." And the saguaro said, "Stout? Stout? Are you saying that I'm overweight?" "Oh, your sense of humor is another one of your endearing traits. You know, when I call you stout, I'm saying that you're brave and strong." "I knew that. I knew that," said the saguaro. "But really, you know, I just don't feel right about all this attention you're giving me. I just don't deserve it. You should have someone who's more appreciative of your rare talents." But the bobcat just laughed. He just did not seem to be able to understand that his feelings were not returned. Well, the next time he got hungry and he left, the saguaro called out to the animals, "Isn't there anything you can do to help me?" One of them said, "Well, the rattlesnake could climb up to the top of you, the saguaro, and bite the bobcat." But the rattlesnake said, "Uh-uh. I'm terrified of heights." So, you know, what could the Anna's hummingbird and the elf owl and the Gila woodpecker do against a bobcat? Ah, but there was one bird who could help. And so when the bobcat came back and climbed up to the top, all 40 feet, of the saguaro, he heard the sound of wings flapping, large wings. They were the wings of the Harris hawk. The Harris hawk felt sorry for the saguaro, and besides, he himself liked to sit on the top of a saguaro as an observation post or even to build a nest there. So the Harris hawk flew over the bobcat and said, "What are you doing here with my girlfriend?" And then he flew up and he had in his talons a rock, a large rock. He let it drop. Now, he didn't want to hurt the bobcat, but it did come dangerously close by the right side of his head. And then the Harris hawk got another rock. He let it drop right by the left ear. This was so disconcerting to the bobcat that he fell off the saguaro, tumbled all the way down to the ground. He barely had time to pick himself up and brush himself off when there was the sound of those wings flapping. The saguaro said, sweetly, "I think you'd better leave." The bobcat didn't have to be told twice. He'd plumb had the love knocked out of him. Off he ran into the desert with the Harris hawk saying, "And don't come back." Now, ever since that time, bobcats haven't been interested in saguaro. And you may think that this could never have happened, but you'd be wrong. Thank you.